Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. We consider topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative and explore whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the Arts Hour, I feature in-depth interviews with local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And for this, the Topic Hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about a wide variety of different subjects that affect us all, both locally and globally. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways that we engage with the world. And remember, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. You can hear podcasts of all past shows there, all the wonderful guests that we've had and some very stimulating topics. And you can connect with me on social media, should you wish, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. So again, the show website is itsaquestionofbalance.com. So right now on It's a Question of Balance, we're featuring Out and About. And we consider a different topic each week. And the idea is to try and get us thinking, to stimulate new ideas or to clarify what we already feel by listening to other people's thoughts on a subject. And this week we're considering spirituality and religion. What's the difference? And the first people that I spoke to were Mary and Daniel. So let's hear what they have to say. Hello, my name is Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Mary.
Daniel.
Well, thanks so much for stopping, Mary and Daniel, for our Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about spirituality and religion. What's the difference? Point of View for the BBC talks about SBNRs, saying one in three Americans define themselves as spiritual but not religious. Millions of people now think of themselves as on their own personal spiritual path, but not affiliated to any specific religion. American sociologists Robert Putnam and David Campbell talk about nuns, people who belong to no religion but still believe in God. Others have used the term moralistic therapeutic deism to refer to how young people are turning towards a vague belief that God exists and the point of life is to be happy. So I'm wondering, do you see a difference between spirituality and religion?
I think I do. For me personally, the vagueness speaks towards spirituality. I think with religion, there's usually this idea that it's following certain texts or certain rules, whereas with spirituality, it's much more self-defined.
Right. Okay. What about your thoughts?
I agree with that. I grew up Presbyterian, and it always seemed I was told it had to be this way, this is what it should be. And spirituality for me is kind of your own path. You get to interpret it how you really want, and it's more open to everyone. Everyone can relate, I feel.
Okay. The latest Pew Research Religious Landscape Survey states the Christian share of the U.S. population is declining and the religiously unaffiliated share is growing in all four major geographic regions of the country. Religious nuns now constitute 19% of the adult population in the South, 22% in the Midwest, 25% in the Northeast, and 28% in the West. In the West, the religiously unaffiliated are more numerous than Catholics, evangelicals, and every other religious group. Nonetheless, the share of U.S. adults who say they believe in God is still remarkably high compared with other advanced industrial countries at 89%. So I'm wondering, do you have any ideas on why religious affiliation might be declining? And is that something you see around you? Are you aware that more people you know perhaps are not religious but still may be spiritual?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with upbringing. I know for me, I wasn't brought up with any religion, and I didn't have it introduced in schools. And there's kind of almost the stigma growing up that being part of religion was being part of something restricting. So I think that that had a lot to do with why maybe the younger generation, having not had that exposure to religious communities maybe growing up, might have something to do with the decline.
Right. Okay. What do you think?
I also kind of agree with that. The upbringing is definitely a huge part of it. But then as you go off to college, as you go off to further education, try new opportunities, things changes, you get out of your comfort zone, you try different things, and you see what else is out there, and that maybe how you were brought up isn't what you want to continue doing. So basically just have a change in mindset.
Right. Most Americans agree that religious institutions perform positive functions in society, although about half of US adults also express reservations about the conduct of religious institutions, saying they're too concerned with money, power, rules, and politics. Religiously unaffiliated people are especially critical of religious institutions. So I'm wondering, do you think possibly the reservations about the focus on money, power, and politics could be one reason people might be turned off by religion? Is that something that you feel at all?
Yeah, I like the current presidential election, that's a big topic to jump into, but it seems like the far right, definitely very conservative, very religious, that's being pushed. Yeah. And the left, it's not really mentioned as much. They're definitely straight to the politics. And you can kind of tell the younger crowd is leaning towards that. So there has been that shift. And then the older crowd is definitely still leaning more towards the right. So there has been some sort of shift. So politics definitely does play into it.
What do you think?
I think bringing religion into certain political stances has definitely swayed people. I know some people who would consider themselves morally against, maybe for religious reasons, against certain political stances. Mm. And because of that, they kind of feel like they're getting their religion is kind of getting pushed into that kind of pigeonhole. I don't know.
Right, yeah. 89% of people of all religious denominations and those declaring none say religious institutions bring people together and strengthen community bonds. 87% say they play an important role in helping the poor and needy, and 75% say religious institutions protect and strengthen morality in society. So I'm wondering, do you think this is an advantage that religion has over spirituality, or do you see those positives as being able to be part of spirituality as well?
I'd say out of those three, definitely the community, because that's very hard to bring so many different people together the way churches do. For example, my church would have a service on Sunday, but through the week they would have different groups for different people. They would do like cook-offs, bake bread for local charities, things like that. And it was something that started to kind of border that spirituality, because you could have your more, I guess, a less defined reason for why you're there. You're just kind of there to do good. You're not necessarily there to learn or to preach or anything like that.
What about you? Do you think you can find the same sort of attributes through a spiritual life as you being part of a religious organization?
I think in order for spirituality to have the same kind of community bonds, you really have to seek it out in terms of an open mindset and be willing to talk about it with people. I know that for some people, spirituality is so personal that they feel like sharing that with someone else is kind of beyond a regular friendship. So I think that would probably be one of the things that keeps it from being a community feel over religion.
How would you define spirituality? What does spirituality mean to you?
To me, spirituality is how you want to live your life. So doing things morally, ethically, but really overall doing it true to yourself and true to your own beliefs, not necessarily swayed by anyone else.
Do you think spirituality, you know, you need to have a belief in some sort of higher power, and maybe a spirit, but I don't know. I mean, would that constitute part of it?
Definitely, but I think spirituality could be science-based too. I don't think there needs to be a being per se, just an overall, even theory, just something that you believe in that guides us.
like some sort of consciousness or...
That's a good word for it, yeah.
Right, okay. What about you?
I think spirituality is kind of this ability to believe in something without having concrete fact there. It's something that you get from having faith in yourself and the stuff around you, and you don't necessarily need proof through, I would disagree, like you wouldn't need proof through science to believe what you believe.
Right.
So that could constitute being a higher being, but you wouldn't need that proof through texts or through studies or stuff like that. It's just something that you yourself feel wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I mean, one aspect of spirituality is a more individualistic approach to your own morality and ethics and how you live your life and what you believe and finding meaning for your life through your own practice, I think. And if you look at the history of the Christian religion, you know, moving from Catholicism to Protestantism, which was more about a direct communication with God, you know, if we're looking at the Christian model, then in a way where we're going now seems kind of an extension of that. Do you think, or can you see that at all? Or not, no?
I don't know.
No, I really don't agree with that.
No, I don't think so.
What about you? Do you see it as a more individualistic practice? Or?
I think I see it as more individualistic. And it's also, I think, because it's not as defined, it's more inclusive. And I think that's a lot of what gets people drawn into it and why it's evolving into this more individualistic spirituality rather than a religion.
Yeah.
We see religion, I know I see religion sometimes as being exclusive to people who don't understand it, whereas spirituality, if your beliefs differ from someone else's, it's kind of more understood to be okay and you can still get along.
Yeah. I mean, that was going to be my final question, whether we should be promoting spirituality over religion for that very reason, because it breaks down barriers and a lot of values underlie all the major religions. And perhaps if we were to focus more on that, we would feel less divided without giving up those beliefs that we have. But if we could focus more on, you know, what is in common between them, that perhaps that might help us all to get along better. I don't know. Well, anyway, thank you very much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for talking with us. This was a really interesting conversation. Yeah,
it was very interesting.
Great. Thank you.
Well, thanks to Mary and Daniel there. And I was just going to comment, I think those sociologists Putnam and Campbell, who came up with the term nuns for people who belong to no religion but still believe in God, I'm not sure they thought that through that well, because certainly from a verbal point of view, it sounds like the female member of a religious order, as in N-U-N, whereas actually it's N-O-N-E-S, as in nun, having no religion. But I'm not sure they thought that through that well. I think it makes it a bit confusing talking about this. Anyway, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Our topic hour and our topic this week, spirituality and religion, what's the difference? We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Film Festival by USA Today readers, the Cinequest Film Festival runs March 1st through 13th in San Jose. Here's Cinequest co-founder Kathleen Powell talking recently on It's a Question of Balance.
I was wondering why you chose Silicon Valley to base the festival in.
Oh my gosh, you know, Silicon Valley is such a unique place. It's where creativity and innovation come together to empower, and that's our vision with Cinequest. This is where it all happens. We want every individual that walks through the door to feel like the value that they got far exceeds what they ever put into it.
Presenting Maverick Spirit winners James Franco and Rita Moreno and 129 premiere films, Cinequest invites you to join artists, innovators and film lovers from all walks of life, March 1st through 13th. Festival passes and packages available now at cinequest.org. That's cinequest.org.
Do you like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, baby, just goes nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and the show has a topic hour and a guest hour, a guest from the arts. Right now we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street on this week's topic. Next, I spoke to Randy, so let's hear what she had to say. Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Randy.
Well, thanks for stopping, Randy, for our Out and About feature. This week we're looking at spirituality and religion. What's the difference? One in three Americans now apparently declare themselves as spiritual but not religious. There's been a decline in affiliation to religious organizations, and yet 89% of US adults say they believe in God, and roughly 6 in 10 adults now say they feel a deep sense of spiritual peace and well-being at least once a week. So I'm wondering, do you see a difference between spirituality and religion?
I think that one of the issues is that religions that are outside of the Judeo-Christian universe have been categorized as spiritual. So if people are practicing Hinduism or Buddhism, then it's automatically categorized in the United States or a lot of countries as being spiritual as opposed to religion.
Okay. I mean, that is a good point with the one in three thing. This, the other statistics come from the Pew Research Religious Landscape Survey, and they actually identified people who they call nones, N-O-N-E-S, which basically means that they have no religious affiliation at all. So that wouldn't take in people who are like perhaps Buddhists or something like that. So there are people who generally have a belief perhaps in a higher power or something like that, but aren't following any specific religion. Do you think that there's
an advantage in being part of religion in terms of perhaps community or helping the poor or strengthening community bonds, strengthening morality? Or do you think that's something that could be acquired also through spirituality?
Well, I think that when we're talking about spirituality, a lot of people are including yoga and meditation, which actually refer to other religions. And so to find someone that's not practicing yoga or meditation, which is from Hinduism or Buddhism, that's practicing a spirituality or that is not practicing something that's agnostic or is difficult. I mean, I think this goes back to the fact that after the Spanish Enlightenment, there was a real frowning in the Catholic Church against meditation. And so it kind of created this split because people were told that they couldn't meditate on their own or have a spiritual sort of experience. Right. It had to come through someone else.
Yes.
So I think it's just kind of, you can't actually do that for thousands of years without having a rebuttal against it. As far as the no religion, I think that that's a bit reactionary. A lot of times people that feel that way still are following most of the values of their original religion that they were raised in, they're just trying to take off the head of it and pretend that they don't actually follow those values. So in terms of compassion, and I think that there's a lot of people that are practicing mainstay religions that are not practicing compassion.
Right.
Because they're, in a lot of churches, they're really trying to focus more on us versus them as opposed to Christian acts or compassionate acts to some extent. And then you have other sects that are really focusing more on those types of things. But it's that whole thing of survival in a capitalist market. So they have to keep in their members by at some point saying, well, you have to be part of this community and do these things and able to, you know, basically for the survival of the group.
Right, yeah. I mean, how would you define spirituality?
Well, spirituality has to do with people's experience of their own chakras or their own power or their own sense of awareness. Going back to Immanuel Kant, it's the bearing witness to yourself or recognition of observer, that you're observing phenomena. So just that observing the self, but and also with compassion, it would be the pleasant feeling that comes from good work.
I mean, if people are taking values from religion, I mean, there is this idea that there are many paths to God and that the different religions are just different ways to get to the same place, whether you think of it as God or a sort of universal consciousness or happiness or bliss or whatever that is. In that sense, do you think, therefore, that it's not a bad thing necessarily that people are cherry-picking values or practices from different religions and finding their own way, or do you see that as a negative?
Well, I think that the bad part of it is they're cherry-picking what they want to focus on, and it's leaving out a lot of compassion. So it's really easy to, you know, sometimes people get really into the Bible and they get into the Old Testament and they negate all of the compassionate acts of the later books. And there's a lot of things that are being left out that they don't want to focus on because it requires more examination of self. But I'd say that I think in the Buddhist thing, they don't actually believe in a God. And some of the religions don't actually believe in a God or a Godhead. They do believe in bliss and emptiness, but it's more of a feeling of transformation that comes from that nullification. So I think it's more subtle than that. So I think that is an easy mistake to make. It's not just getting lost in God, which is a completely different religion. But all of those paths require a path, and they require righteousness. And so I think when people reject religion, it's in the United States, it has to do with capitalism and, you know, glorifying materialism and decadence and wanting to not get married, not have family, and just play and have toys. And that has not served us well. People in Europe are appalled. They don't understand why Americans do not want to have families in their 20s. So they just don't, they can't comprehend it. So I don't think that's, it served us well. I think people are pretty lonely as a result. Families are scattered, for capitalist reasons, are scattered all across the United States. They don't really have strong ties emotionally. If somebody gets sick or gets older, it's very hard for families to care for each other. So, nobody wants to think about that or acknowledge it. As long as you're young, it's fine. But as you get older, it turns into a nightmare.
So you're seeing family as being something that religion supports, sort of a community, sense of community that supports the family. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think we have to be careful because we're talking about Buddhism or Confucianism. I mean, those are very different. So I would say more tradition. I mean, when you're thinking about the world and the billions of people on it, at least 3 billion of those people have this different sense. So it's more traditional family values for their own sake for some of these groups.
I was just trying to understand. You were saying the family's declining in America, and that's a negative. How you were linking that with? Are you linking that to decline of religion?
Well, not necessarily decline of religion, but spiritual path. So for someone's following Confucius path, they might be following the spiritual path, but it doesn't have religion because they don't have the same philosophy.
So are you seeing that the thing to do is to have a path, and it doesn't really matter if it is from a religion or from a more personal approach, but that's what's important, is that you are having a set path and some kind of practice?
Well, I think what the issue is all of these traditions, and some of them are not religions, are thousands of years old, and they contain wisdom from several thousands of years that focus on something more than this, just yourself. I think it's naive to think that you as a human being can outwit thousands of years of scholars. But I think the problem is that they didn't allow enough power for women, that they didn't allow people to fully develop themselves within it. That whole thing of fear of the other, fear of people who were different, fear of anybody, so that's what's really turned everybody away from it, because of the lack of creativity there. But I think that there was a lot in those traditions that was useful. I just think that there's so much archaic stuff that doesn't really fit the times. It's kind of hard.
Yeah. So we shouldn't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater, that there might be aspects that aren't relevant today, but there is a lot of wisdom held within certain traditions that would still be really valid for people to use on their own path.
Yeah, so if you're following Confucianism, you can't be selfish. You're doing things for your family. However, if you're a female, there's not a lot of options in that.
Right.
So you have to change it to fit. You have to take the more masculine role in it. I think that independence is really important, but also there has to be some sense of doing things for the community. Mm. If there's no power structure whatsoever for people to actually care about the community and care about each other, and it's just this free-for-all. Sometimes it works, and other times you have the mayor of a city throwing a bunch of homeless people off of Division Street.
So you see religion as providing some compassion, a reminder to people, if they have that practice, that we are trying to all live together here in the best possible way and treat each other well.
Well, I mean, it goes back to the Martin Luther idea. I mean, Martin Luther King and a lot of ministers in the 60s basically got bulldozed by the establishment because there was nothing that they could say that would go along with what the corporate agenda was. Nothing.
Right, yeah.
So they basically got nullified. I mean, in countries like Central and South America, where they had a liberation theology, they were able to connect with the people and bring something out, but then there was violent opposition from the right wing that, they were going around and killing and raping nuns and monks and if you actually have a religion that's empowering the people and trying to create communal action, it becomes a threat.
Yeah.
Revolutionary act, yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's why Martin Luther King was killed. I mean, it's that's the problem, is we're living in a society where the market really wants people to be isolated. They don't want them to be happy. They don't want them to be with their family, because if you're with your family, you're not going out to eat. You're staying at home and cooking, and you're taking care of your family, and you're buying land together. You're not going off and playing and having toys and going on fancy trips and trying to make yourself feel better with fancy clothes. You don't need fancy clothes if you have a strong community around you, because you feel loved and you don't feel like you have to impress anyone. So, I mean, the whole materialism thing, the whole Madison Avenue and advertising is focused on keeping people very isolated. Countries like Nicaragua, where they have, you know, almost no money, but up until recently they had very strong communal bonds where everybody lived in the same village for several thousand years. After they had war for 15 years and they had no PTSD afterwards, because there were so many people, the communal bonds were so strong, and people were touched, people were hugged, people were part of these very strong kinship bonds where they felt fulfilled, even if they had been through some sort of trauma. Whereas here, people are completely isolated.
So maybe with people being turned off from religion, it's creating a void for some of these aspects in their life of community and family and empathy for those around us, which could lead perhaps to a more selfish life.
Well, I don't think it's religion per se, because, I mean, we have to understand that so many people come here from Asia. It's a walking away from traditional lifestyle. It's so much deeper than that. It has to do with modernity. I mean, in the Middle East, they refer to it as the clash between traditional and modernity. And I think that's a stronger emphasis on it. I think religion is just one casualty. It's one part of it. There's so many different facets to this, and a lot of it has to do with moving away from the New Deal, moving away from the strength of labor, and a lot of other things. At least in the United States, that would not be true in Europe. It has other causes, but it has to do with the fight between tradition and modernity, and the push of modernity to sell product. And you really see it in little villages in like Nicaragua, where they've had access to the internet for only like 3 or 4 years, and before that they were a completely traditional society. Their entire society is being torn apart. Everyone's leaving. All the kids are leaving. They're all coming to the United States. They're all going to Costa Rica trying to get jobs. They're leaving their families because they see these products and this life on the internet, and they want it.
Just to end now, 89% of adults in America still express a belief in God. That's very high in modern industrialized society. So, I mean, do you see that as a positive, you know, that people are still, expressing a belief in a higher power?
Well, I think cancer is out at the wazoo, and I think people are in a lot of stress. I think that they go for faith for things, and I also think it's like the family. They love their family, but they never barely see them. You know, it's like they love...
So they're thinking about God instead of their family, or...?
No, deep down they may have these views about religion, but they're not actually going to church. They're not actually practicing. They just have this feeling that, wow, this is what I believe, but they're not really putting any energy into it.
Right, yeah. Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a pleasure. Yeah.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Film Festival by USA Today readers. The Cinequest Film Festival runs March 1st through 13th in San Jose. Here's Cinequest co-founder Kathleen Powell talking recently on It's a Question of Balance.
I was wondering why you chose Silicon Valley to base the festival in.
Oh my gosh. You know, Silicon Valley is such a unique place. It's where creativity and innovation come together to empower. And that's our vision with Cinequest. This is where it all happens. We want every individual that walks through the door to feel like the value that they got far exceeds what they ever put into it.
Presenting Maverick Spirit winners James Franco and Rita Moreno and 129 premiere films, Cinequest invites you to join artists, innovators and film lovers from all walks of life, March 1st through 13th. Festival passes and packages available now at cinequest.org. That's cinequest.org.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made dessert in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
KSCO is a proud sponsor of Fire in the Heart, Cabrillo Theater Arts Evening of World Theater, March 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Crocker Theater. Award-winning national and local artists explore how the arts become a catalyst for resilience in times of trouble using gospel, hip-hop, classical music, spoken word, film, and dance. Tickets at www.cabrillovapa.com. That's www.cabrillovapa.com or call 479-6154.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And right now we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And remember, if you have any comments yourself you'd like to add to this topic discussion, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, the next person I spoke to was Gordon. So let's hear his thoughts. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Gordon Tebong.
Well, thanks so much for stopping, Gordon, for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at spirituality and religion. What's the difference? Data from the latest Pew Research Religious Landscape Survey indicates nearly one in five US adults were raised in a religious faith and now identify with no religion. For every person who has joined a religion after having been raised unaffiliated, there are four more people who have left religion after being raised in religion. This 1-to-4 ratio is an important factor in the growth of the unaffiliated population. However, generational replacement is by no means the only reason that religious nuns are growing and Christians are declining. In addition, people in older generations are increasingly disavowing association with organized religion. Yet the share of US adults who say they believe in God is still remarkably high by comparison with other advanced industrial countries at 89%. And roughly 6 in 10 adults now say they feel a deep sense of spiritual peace and well-being at least once a week. So you've got people leaving religion to some degree, but you've still got a lot of people who are feeling spiritually connected. I'm wondering, do you see a difference between spirituality and religion?
Yes, there's a difference between organized religion and spirituality, because spirituality is just a religion, and spirituality seems to be the same thing, but the organized religion seems to favor a few.
Right.
They open up to a few, whereas spirituality is, for everybody that wants to learn about spirituality, is open. But religion is it comes as ushers is the same thing, but the organized religion, they open everything to you, feel like the bishop, the elders, those know the what is our spirituality. They know the extent of spirituality.
So there's kind of a hierarchy in religion.
Right.
And in spirituality, you can find things for yourself more?
More and connect to it more.
Do you think that is what is appealing to people, why the religion is declining?
Yeah, I think so. Because I've come to the world I'm working with, especially the new age of technology, Facebook, and you can Google everything yourself now and find out that the organized religion is no more what they used to tell us. No. Oh, there is a thing, black man with a horn is the Satan, the devil, a white man with a blonde hair is God. It's no more like that these days. God is who you feel, how you feel, and how you relate to your human being. That's how people know now that that's God.
So there's more opportunity for people to do their own research, whereas in the past perhaps you had to rely on your priest or whatever to tell you how things are. Now you can explore things more for yourself.
Correct. That's exactly what's going on now. It's a decline of religion. Organized religion is declining because people are finding out of themselves that, oh, God is not just what he was saying, that if you go to church 5 days or every Sunday to talk to God. No, you can talk to God even at home with a sincere heart, and God will listen to you.
Right.
And there's not like, that's the debate now. No, spirituality and religion is almost the same thing, but they're showing, when you go to the organized religion, they show the spiritual side only to a few.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then, whereas those who are just going to find out for themselves, they say they're spiritual, they find out the truth for themselves. And they become more spiritual, more at ease, more comfortable while they find out.
Do you think if we were to think more in terms of spirituality, it could help break down barriers to help people get along better?
Yes, I think so. I think if they could allow spirituality to grow without the barriers of the media, everything, I think organized religion, finally, the barriers will go down. Like,
okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for your opinion. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, too. I hope more topics will come about this, because the world is awakening to the truth of nature. Humanity is one.
Right.
But religion has come more, bring division more than bringing us together.
Right.
And I hope things will be better with the future if people like you are coming up to help and open up the eyes of those who are still blind now. So hopefully the world will become a better place tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. One of the goals of the show is to try and explore whether we have more in common than divides us. So,
Yes, there's more in common with humanity than what divides us. But the few that want to divide us are really determined to divide it. So hopefully, with the help of God, with people like you, we will come back to conquer that. No, humanity is one, and let's stay together.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our Out and About feature, where we have hopefully thought-provoking conversations on the street. Well, the last people that I spoke to this week were Sean and Andy. So let's hear what they have to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
My name is Sean.
My name is Andy.
Well, thanks, Sean and Andy, for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, we're considering spirituality and religion. What's the difference? The Pew Research Religious Landscape Survey analysis in 2015 states the number of religiously unaffiliated adults has increased by roughly 19 million since 2007. There are now approximately 56 million religiously unaffiliated adults in the US. And this group, sometimes called religious nuns, is more numerous. Nuns, as in N-O-N-E-S, not like the Catholic nuns, is more numerous than either Catholics or mainline Protestants, according to the new survey. Indeed, the unaffiliated are now second in size only to evangelical Protestants among major religious groups in the US. Yet, the share of US adults who say they believe in God is still remarkably high by comparison with other advanced industrial countries at 89%. And roughly 6 in 10 adults now say they feel a deep sense of spiritual peace and well-being at least once a week, up 7 percentage points since 2007, and 46% of adults say they feel a deep sense of wonder about the universe on a weekly basis, also up sharply since 2007. So first of all, I'm wondering, do you see a difference between spirituality and religion?
Yes, I absolutely do. I think to me, religion is
regardless of what religion you believe in, much more defined in a sense. There's a certain set of defined beliefs for the religion. Mm-hmm. So usually you have like a group of people who believe in this set of morals or values or beliefs, which constitute the religion. Whereas like, if you were spiritual, that's much less defined. I feel like it's much more open to each individual's opinion and their own interpretation of what that means. And I think that varies on a spectrum of spiritual in the sense of you believe in karma, like there's a karma or something in the world that's greater than you, to ranging to you do believe in a greater power that's kind of has the master plan for the universe.
Right. Okay. And what about you, Andy? Do you see a difference between religion and spirituality?
I definitely do, especially my mom, because she considered herself very spiritually in tune, more than religious. Even though she is born Catholic, she doesn't believe in, you know, the whole structure of, you know, going, you know, having to go to church and, you know, having to say these prayers. She more feels it. You know, she just is more like in tune with the world and why, you know, why there's nature and why, you know, there's a flower. But, you know, that still she, you know, she still feels like she has to please her family because of, you know, religion, right, which is something that people take as, you know, how should I say, like an acceptance for a way, you know, for religion for what it is kind of thing. But my mom, I don't know, but the way she brought it up on me is because, you know, just how the world feels and believe in, like, all everything that's living and why it is.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on why religious affiliation is declining?
Well, for me, especially, I don't know, I guess ever since I've done his, like, you know, research on it and kind of seeing how they, religious, for instance, in my culture in Mexico, was used for kind of abolishing a civilization that was already, you know, around. So for me, and even when I go to church, I feel like it's kind of, I hate to say it, but it's like brainwashing almost.
Yeah.
And I think that's one reason why I don't really,
yeah,
or why I guess a lot of people don't want to do religion or.
Yeah. I mean, one aspect of spirituality is that it's more individualistic. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, as a society, I think we're becoming more individualistic. Do you think that might be one reason that people want to do their own thing in how they, you know, believe spiritually rather than belong to a religion? Does anyone have a...
I don't know. I just think it's just so constraining, I think. Yeah. I think sometimes even people... and not to judge everybody that's in a religion, but I guess for sometimes they come across way too, you know, they push it on you.
Yeah.
And yet they have these views that say, oh, God loves everybody, but, you know... Those certain groups of people we don't accept kind of thing. And it's kind of almost hypocritical, like, you know, it's kind of like a hypocrite kind of thing. So.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Though most Americans agree that religious institutions perform positive functions, about half of U.S. adults also expressed reservations about the conduct of religious institutions, saying that they're too concerned with money and power, too focused on rules, and too involved with politics. I'm wondering, do you think those reservations about money, power, politics could be one reason people are attracted to spirituality? Is that anything that concerns you about religions?
I mean, I think certainly for me, kind of like going back to my original opinion, answering the first question, that's the main difference that I draw. I do think like religion is much more kind of defined in their set of beliefs, like it's a certain set of rules or norms associated with it, which people these days may not follow so rigidly. I certainly think kind of the political affiliation is also part of that as well.
On the positive side, the majority of people of all denominations and those declaring none, almost 9 in 10 U.S. adults, think that religious institutions bring people together and strengthen community bonds, that they play an important role in helping the poor and needy, and they protect and strengthen morality in society. Do you think those things can also be achieved through spirituality, or do you think that's a unique thing religions have?
I mean, I think it's the beauty of religion is that, you know, they have these values that are like very, you know, they're kind of, well, how should I say, they're kind of on a positive side, like, you know, kind of love everybody and stuff like that.
Right.
I think we could take a little bit from every religion and kind of just, you know, be better people that way. We don't have to sit, you know, stick to one,
right,
one religion, but we could take a little bit of everything.
Yeah. That was going to be my last question, which is that there's so many different religious denominations. I think there's 186 or more, with so many different religions and versions of different religions. Do you think it would be better to promote spirituality over religion to try and sort of break down barriers between people?
I think we definitely should, especially now with the whole, you know, I guess they call it the war, the like kind of like the middle, like the Muslim kind of, with the whole views on that and how like people view like, you know, the whole Muslim religion kind of thing. I think it's, and you know, the whole, I guess the whole religion war kind of thing. I think that's, that'd be one way to break it down if we just promote kind of spirituality instead of, you know, strict religion.
Or maybe even one could call it values. I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it depends on the religion. There's so many different kinds of religions. Some are more accepting of others. So I think it definitely depends on the religion. So I can't really say I have a strong opinion about pushing spirituality over religion. I think it's more about personal preference. I think I'm more in the mindset of whatever works for you and makes you happy as a person.
Yeah. So you would at least like to see an environment where everybody's individual views are tolerated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think, if anything, like, I would, in my opinion, be against religions that are very intolerant of others. Definitely, when you look at history, there's certainly cases around religion where, you know, wars between people have broken out and lots of casualties and death as a result, like simply because of different religious beliefs. So that would definitely be something that I would feel strongly against. But I also really believe in people being given the freedom to believe what they will.
Yes, yeah. Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thank you to all the people who took part in my on-the-street conversations this week. I know a couple of people who I stopped were sort of like, oh, it's very interesting, but we're very tired. We don't think we could get our mind around this. It's such a deep topic. And it's true that a lot of the topics we do are quite deep, and to be stopped on the street and asked to think about it, I really am very grateful to people for taking the time to do that. And I hope that it is stimulating your thought processes about what you think about this subject. I know it gave me a lot of different things to talk about. And It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour, so be sure to tune in to hear inspiring in-depth interviews with guests from the arts, as well as thought-provoking topic discussions on the street. And remember, you can check out the website, It's a Question of Balance, .com for podcasts of all the shows to listen to anytime, anywhere. Thanks for listening, and join me for the next Arts Hour.